We're holding on Chaf Dalet Amud Beis by the Mishnah. Mishnah says, Shur Hamazik Birshus HaNizik Ketzin. What do we mean when we say if a Shur commits the Nezik in the property of the Nizik, Ketzad, what are the dinim? How much is he having to pay? So now we've been learning all this time that if it was, we're going to be talking about Keren now, and we've been learning all this time that Keren, a Tam pays Chatzi Nezik and Mord pays Nezik Sholim. So now the Mishnah is going to deal with the point which we've already touched on previously about whether there's any difference if that's in chatzar hanizik. So nogach, if the animal gored, nogach, or if it pushed someone with its body, noshach, or bit, robots, or deliberately lay down on kelim, or boat, or kicked, all of which are either the keren, it's a nogach itself is the av, everything else is a tolda of keren, as we've learned before. It's two things actually. It's they're all intentional, and they're all it doesn't get direct hana from it. Unlike, for example, let's say eating, which we said is shein, it's also intentional, but it's having hana because it's enjoying the food. Here it's just out of spite, basically. So birshus harabim mishalem chatzin nezek. So all of those, if it happens in birshus harabim and the animal's a tam, then you're paying chatzin nezek. Birshus hanizik, if it takes place in the property of the nizik, reb tarfin omer nezek shalem b'cham omer chatzin nezek. Reb Taufan says that he'll pay nezek sholim. The Chum will say he'll pay chatzin nezek. Even though it's in rishos hanizik. We did learn a few days ago that even Reb Taufan agrees. Even though he's saying he's paying nezek sholim in that case, he does agree that you're paying only megufay. You're paying only up to the value of the animal, not beyond that. As we've learned before, unlike with a muad, so even Reb Taufan agrees there will be a difference in that regard between tam and muad. Where a muad, you'd be paying min ha'aliyah, so you're paying the full amount regardless of the value of the actual animal. Whereas when it comes to a tam, you're still paying only up to the value of the animal. He's just saying in this case you're paying nezek sholim. So now the Mishnah is going to present what the basis is for their machlokes. Om lahem Reb Taifin. So Reb Taifin says to the Chachamim, I'll prove to you by a kav v'chomer that this should be the case. Oma b'mokim shehekel al hashen v'al regel, madoch, in a place where we're lenient about shein and regel, namely b'shos harabim, shehu potter, and we're saying that if your animal eats or tramples on something in b'shos harabim, which is shein and regel respectively, then you're potter, as we've learned before. Because after all, it says b'sdei acher by those, and yet b'rshus hanizik hechmer alein b'rshus hanizik l'shalom nezik sholim, and yet it's more stringent on them in that if it takes place in the b'rshus hanizik, you don't just say chatzi nezik or something; you go straight to nezik sholim. Well then, mokem shehechmer ala keren b'rshus harabim l'shalom chatzi nezik. Well then, keren is more stringent than shein and regel after all, because you're already paying even in b'rshus harabim, you're paying chatzi nezik for it. Shouldn't we make a kavachomer then and say that birshus hanizik it should go up from chatzin nezik to nezik sholim? So therefore, that's why I'm saying that in birshus hanizik you need to pay nezik sholim. Omruloi, but the chacham answered back to him, daya lavamin adin lias kenodin. Within the rule of Kavachomer, every one of the Yud Gimel Midas Shatur and Dreshes Behem is really kind of a family of rules, as you could almost say that it has an Av and Toldos. So each word Kavachomer, for example, one of the rules with Kavachomer is the concept of Daya, which is you can't say that Daya means it's enough, Levomin Adin, for what you're trying to learn from a Kavachomer, Lias Kinodon, that it should be no more so than the thing you're learning from. Namely, in other words, so they were saying, given that, fine, you want to learn from Keren Rishos Harabim, fine, you can learn from that Keren is Chayev in Rishos HaNizek, sure, but you can't say that it's stronger than it. Ma Rishos Harabim Chatzin Nezek, so just like Keren in Rishos Harabim is going to be paying Chatzin Nezek, after Rishos HaNizek, Chatzin Nezek. The same way, in Rishos HaNizek, it can't be any stronger, it can't be any more than Chatzin Nezek. Otherwise, you're saying that the Kav HaChomer is going to make the thing that you're learning to stronger than what you're learning from, and you can't do that. That's not how a kav v'chomer works, as we're going to explain in the Gemara. So the Gemara says Omer lahem. So the Mishnah says Omer lahem. So Reb Taifin says Afani lo odun keren mekeren. As a matter of fact, no, I'm not learning keren from keren. You're right. That wouldn't work because of dying. Ani odun keren me rego. Rather, I'm going to make my kav v'chomer differently. Now, Tosfos points out, the Gemara is going to tell us that Reb Taufan holds of Dayoy differently than the Chachamim does. He holds that the mechanism of Dayoy works differently than the Chachamim do, and therefore he says, for me, that's not, in effect, what he's saying, for me, your question is not really a problem because my understanding of Dayoy differs than yours, as we're going to see in the Gemara, and therefore it doesn't contradict me in the first place. But fine, you want to say that you have your understanding of Dayoy that would prevent my Kal Vachomer from working, fine, I'll reformulate the Kal Vachomer and make it work even according to you. So I need Odin Keren May Regal. So fine, I'll learn a Kal Vachomer instead. I'll learn Keren from Regal. Namely, I'll say like this: where again we're makel on Shane and Regal, Hechme b'Keren, and still there we're more stringent as far as Keren. So in a place where we're machmer on Shane and Regal in Rosh Hashanah Nizek and making them pay Nezek Shalim, in addition to Nachmer b'Keren, how much more so that we should be machmer in Keren if we see in Rosh Hashanah Rabim that Keren is stronger than Shane and Regal, then certainly in Rosh Hashanah Nizek also it should be stronger than Shane and Regal. And that doesn't have the flaw of before of saying that Daya on the face of it, he's saying that doesn't have the flaw of Daya Lavamina Dinlius Kenodin, because the first version of the Kal Vachomer was to try to learn from Keren to Keren. But now he's saying I'm learning from Rego or Shane to Keren. Omruloy, and the Chacham said still that doesn't work. Daya Lavamina Dinlius Kenodin. Still, you have the same problem that Daya prevents that from working because, after all, your Kal Vachomer still involves Keren. Fine, you're not learning directly from Keren like you did before, but you have to have Keren somewhere in there in order to make a Kal Vachomer work. Because otherwise, what are you going to say? Shane and Regal are Potter and Rosh Hasarabim and Chayev and then Chayev and Rosh Hasanizet. If you don't put Keren in there someplace, then you don't have a basis for saying that Keren should be Chayiv in Rosh Hashanah Nizek. Your whole point is based on the idea that that in Rosh Hashanah Rabim, Shane and Regal are Kal and Keren is Chomer. So you still have the problem of Daya. You still have to involve Keren in there. So therefore, Mab Rosh Hashanah Rabim, Chatzin Nezek, after Rosh Hashanah Nizek, Chatzin Nezek. So the same way, either way, it's going to be only Chatzin Nezek. You don't have a basis to, at least according to our understanding of Dayoy, to say that it should be paying Nezek Shalim ever. So the Gemara asks, Rab Tarfin Lesley Dayoy, does Rab Tarfin not hold of the concept of Dayoy? V'ha Dayoy Dereisahu. This principle that with a Kal Vachomer, you can't make the thing you're learning to stronger than what you're learning from, is itself a principle Dereisah. D'tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, midin Kal Vachomer ketzad. Where do we learn the concept of learning a Kal Vachomer? So in Toras Koinim, at the beginning of Sifra on Vayikra, where it has the Braisa of Rabbi Shmuel that we say every day in davening. So after that, after it lists the 13 of them, it goes through and provides examples of each one of them, where we see in the Torah that such a midah is used. So the first one it asks is, where do we see Kal Vachomer? So like this, you have like this, you have the story at the end of Parashas Baaloscha. Miriam has said Lashon Hara against Moshe, and she's punished with Tzaras. And Moshe davens for her, Keil no refa no lo. So Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, so Hashem says to Moshe, Va'avia yorek yorek b'faneha, if her father had spit in her face, meaning in other words, if she had insulted her human father and he had been angry at her, then she would be embarrassed for 7 days. Well, now that's as far as the pasuk goes. Now let's interject. We ought to make a Kal Vachomer then that if she insulted the Shechina, because in effect that the Lashon Hara was against Moshe, but on the other hand, there was a certain disrespect to Hashem involved in it also, in that in effect she's saying, and Aaron as well, and Aaron got Tzaras as well temporarily, but anyway, they're saying, in effect, Moshe is no different than any other Navi. So first they're saying, why did Moshe separate from his wife? But they're also including in it, like, why did Hashem choose Moshe to be something special if he's no different than every other Navi? So there's a certain insult to Hashem involved in it as well. So a Kal Vachomer would tell us if for a human father, she has to be in disgrace for 7 days, for Hashem, she ought to be in disgrace 14 days. Why is that? So Tosfos brings two reasons. First of all, the Gemara tells us in Nida that each of the two parents contributes several things to the baby. the father, Tosfos brings over here that the father contributes with his zera five parts of the body, the bones, the fingernails, etc. And the mother, and the mother with her contribution to the baby produces five parts of the body. Actually, all Gersaris of the Gemara really have actually nine and nine, but whatever. And then Hashem provides 10 things. So again, the Gersa that we have in the Gemara over there is actually that each one of them provides nine. So then that doesn't really so fit so well with this. Tosfos' Gersa is that's five from the father, five from the mother, and 10 from Hashem. So therefore, Hashem's contribution is double that of the parents. And therefore, that's why we would say the amount of time that she should be in disgrace ought to be double. Then Tosfos brings a different reason as well, because when a person has tzaras, they're quarantined for 7 days. So now we're saying that the next thing would be to double it. So then from 7 you go to 14. And there are different other explanations as well. But whatever the case, the point is Ella. But because Daya Lavamina didn't lias Kenodin, because of this rule of Daya, therefore Hashem says she'll be in disgrace, she'll have tzaras and be quarantined outside the camp for only 7 days. So we see from that pasuk the concept of Daya. Incidentally, Rav Levi Yitzchak, the Rebbe's father, points out a very interesting Kabbalistic idea over here. Moshe's tefillah to Hashem invokes the name Kael. Kael na rafan Allah. The Kael is also, there's different ways of counting Yud Gimel Midas Harachamim. We usually, when we say it every day in davening, we start from Hashem, Hashem. But in the Zohar, it talks about the possibility that maybe it actually begins from Kael. And actually, when we say Tashlich, we do that. We have the little head notes that are on top of each of the words over there begins with Kael. Or actually, begins with Hashem, Hashem, Kael, but whatever. The point is that Kael, to a certain extent, is considered the first of the Midas, while Kavah Chomer is also the first of the Yud Gimel Midas, Sha'atar Nidreshes Behem. That is why Hashem answers him with a Kavah Chomer. Then he goes further. The name Moshe itself is gematria of the two names, Kael, Shakai. Well, Kael, is we're saying, is associated with Kavah Chomer, and Shakai, which is Meloshin Dai, has to do with Dai. So therefore, that's all a hint to this point that we have the Kavah Chomer and we have Daya. Anyway, so the Taifun has to agree with that. So how can he be saying in the Mishnah his Kavah Chomer, which the Chachamim are pointing out that it doesn't work because of Daya? How can Rav Taifun hold of such a Kavah Chomer in the first place? And the answer is ki lesle Daya hechad the mafrik Kavah Chomer. The answer is Rav Taifun does not hold of Daya where it would prevent the Kavah Chomer from accomplishing anything at all. As in our Mishnah, where it doesn't slug up the Kavah Chomer, he does hold of Daya. So, in other words, how does that work? So over there, when it comes to the story with Miriam, after all, it never says in the Pasuk to begin with that she should have to be in disgrace 7 days because of insulting the Shechina. Maybe after all, you would say that maybe she shouldn't be in disgrace at all. Maybe she shouldn't have to be, maybe she shouldn't have to be suffering from tzaras for any length of time at all. Also Kavah Chomer, I see our Beisar. So now the Kavah Chomer tells us, on the contrary, by rights, you should be out for 14 days. Also Daya, Apik Shiva, Vuki Shiva. So Daya comes and tells us, fine, subtract 7 days because it can't be stronger than what you're learning from, and leave it at the same 7 days that it would be if she was in disgrace because of her father. So therefore, so there, Daya works because even once we apply Daya, we still have the Kavah Chomer is still telling us something that we wouldn't have known before. Because without that, we b'chlal wouldn't have known that she has to be in disgrace for any amount of time after insulting the Shechina. Abel Hocha, but over here, Chatzin Nezek Ksiv, it already says in the Pasuk that a Tam is paying Chatzin Nezek, but also Kavah Chomer v'aisi Chatzin Nezek Achrina. So now the Kavah Chomer comes and tells us, says Reb Taifun, to add an extra Chatzin Nezek and say that if it was in Rishus HaNizek, you pay Venas and Nezek Sholem. So now it becomes Nezek Sholem in Rishus HaNizek. E, Darshis Dayoi. If you're going to now darshan dayoi apkus africh le Kavah Chomer, then you've broken apart the Kavah Chomer, and the Kavah Chomer is not doing anything for us because in that case, then chatzi nezik, you don't need a Kavah Chomer to tell us. It says right there in the pasuk. The whole point of the Kavah Chomer was to tell us nezik sholem. So therefore, Reb Taifun says the rule would be that dayoi can't undo a Kavah Chomer altogether. It can moderate what the Kavah Chomer is doing, but not undo it altogether. So therefore, he says, so therefore, in this case, it would, and therefore, he says, you can't apply diet. Dirabanan, what are the chachamim answer to that? They say, it does say, we do have a pasuk that tells us that she would have to be in disgrace 7 days for insulting the Shechina as well. Shiva de Shechina ksibi. It does say in the pasuk, and we would have known them without the Kal v'Chomer, because Hashem continues, ki sogel shivas yomim. She should be locked up for 7 days. And so therefore, so we see Hashem is saying flat out over there that for insulting the Shechina, she should be quarantined for 7 days. So therefore, yes, there you have an example where Daye would have told us 14, and without Daye, we're back down to 7. But 7, we don't need a Kavu Chomer for, because we have it right there in the Pasuk. So you see, say the Chachamim, that it doesn't matter whether Daye contradicts the Kavu Chomer and prevents it from doing anything at all, it still works. Rab Typhon, so what does Rab Typhon answer to that? He says, Ahuchi Sogur de Darshin and Dayehu. Exactly that. No, he says that the very fact that it says Tisogur is to tell us the fact that we should Darshin Dayeh at all. In other words, without that, you would have said there's no such thing as Dayeh, and you would have said that in fact it should be 14 days. So therefore, Hashem has to tell Moshe that no, in fact, apply Dayeh over here, and therefore we're back down to 7 days. But after all, Rab Typhon is saying, it's not that without the Kal v'Chomer in the first place, we would have known 7 days. Without the Kal v'Chomer, Rab Typhon is saying, we would have known nothing at all. Therefore, comes the Kal v'Chomer and tells us 14. Then comes the word Tisogar and tells us, no, you have to apply Dayoy and get it back down to 7. But that's in that case, then still you have Dayoy, the Kal v'Chomer is still accomplishing something, because you're going from 0 to 14 and then back down to 7. V'rabbanan, and the Chachamim answer back to that, k'siv k'rachrin about Tisogar Miriam. Sure, but the next pasuk says that Miriam was quarantined for 7 days. So they're saying, so you can learn the fact that Daye was applied to that, from that. So you have two psukim, one where Hashem says Tisogar Shivas Yomim, and the other one saying that it actually happened, but Tisogar Miriam Shivas Yomim. So therefore, one of them is teaching us that you apply Daye, and one of them is teaching us that you apply Daye, and the other one is teaching us that you apply it even when it will prevent the Kal v'Chomer from working. V'Rab Typhon, what does Rab Typhon answer to that? He says, "Ahu, no, that second Vatisogar Miriam is not teaching us any more. It is teaching us about the rules of Daye, but a different point. Ahu da'afilu ba'alma darshin and Daye. That's coming to tell us that even outside of the story of Moshe and Miriam, you still darshin Daye. Don't think that maybe over here, only because of the covet of Moshe, where he davened for Miriam, that he didn't want her to be quarantined with Saras in the first place. When he says Kel Narafon Allah, he means that Hashem should heal her on the spot. And yet, for Hashem, so for Moshe's covet, then Hashem mitigated the punishment and took it down to 7 days. Aval ba'almalo, you wouldn't know that otherwise that works. Kamash Malan, therefore, the Sidivati Soga Miriam is telling us that it's not just in this particular example, but all over that we daush and daye. But still, Rab Typhon says you don't have a basis for saying that where daye prevents the Kal v'Chomer from operating, that it should be that we should use it. We're not going to say that, says Rab Typhon. Okay. So the Gemara continues. So now the Gemara is going to get into a discussion about this whole matter of Daye. We're digressing really from what we learned from the actual din that we learned in the Mishnah about Chatzin Nezek versus Nezek Shalem, and we're going to discuss this whole matter of the ins and outs of this whole matter of Daye. So Amaleta Popola Abaya, Vaha Hai Tana Delay Dorish Daye, don't you find a Tana who doesn't seem to douse in Daye at all, even when the Daye is not preventing the Kal v'Chomer from doing anything at all? So then you have to ask, how would that Tana hold that? What is he doing with these psukim with Moshe and Miriam? So what is that? D'Tanya, we learn in a braisa like this. Keri bezov minayin. Now we know you have a zov who's had two or three or more emissions of ziva, which is a fluid that comes out from him, which is similar to but different in some significant ways from shichvas zera. It's a slightly different color and different consistency and so forth, and it makes him tome with a very severe tuma, where anything, among other things, anything he sits on or lies on becomes tome, anything he touches becomes tome, etc., etc. Anyway, so a braisa says, Keri bezov minayin. How would we know that if a Zav has an ordinary emission of Keri, so in between his Zivos, in between one and another flow of Zivos, or during the seven clean days of them afterwards, whatever, he has an emission of Keri. Now, regular Shichvas Zera is Matame b'maga, but not b'masa. So regular Shichvas Zera, a person touches it, then he becomes Tame. But if he carries it without touching it, for example, he carries it on a pillow, then he doesn't become Tame. Now the Braisa is trying to prove that how we know that the Shichvas Zera of a Zav is Matame also by carrying it. So Keri b'Zav minai. So he says, "V'dinhu." You can learn it by a kavachomer. Uma toher b'toher, ma toher b'toher, madach. When you have saliva, which is toher and comes from a toher person, now regular person's saliva is not matame, and yet tome b'tome, and yet the same saliva coming from a zob will be matame, and that's clear from sukkim because the pasuk says v'chi yorek hazov b'tohar. The pasuk says that if a zob spits on someone tohar, then that other person, not only he is tome, but his clothing are tome, meaning the person himself becomes an avatoma, and his clothes become a rishon b'tumah. So you have the same bodily fluid, saliva, which is toher when it comes from a toher person, but it's tomei when it comes from a tomei person. Well, then tomei b'toher. So then shichvas zera keri, which is tomei when it comes from a toher person and makes another person tomei when he touches it. Ein edin sheyehei tomei b'tomei. How much more so that it should be matame when it comes from a tomei person, namely a zol. So that's the kavachomer that this braisa says. And the Kamaisila, and Rav Papa points out the Kamaisila ben lamaga ben lamasa. Now, what is the Tana trying to do with this Kal v'Chomer? He wants to say that he said that based on that, the Shichvas Zera of a Zov is not only matamin, not only b'maga, but also b'masa. He wants to make it that it should be like the saliva of the Zov. Meaning, in other words, again, the same way as we're saying that if a Zov spits on someone, then the other person is Tomei, even though he didn't touch it, even though he's only carrying it around on his clothes, and he and his clothes become Tomei. So we see that there's Tumas Masa over there. And now the Tana is trying to learn that Keri of a Zov should have the same din, even though, where is he learning it from? From Keri of a regular person, which is only Matame B'maga. So you see on the face of it, this Tana does not hold of Daya. Otherwise, Daya would tell us otherwise, in other words, the Kavachomer would be telling us that such Shichvas Zera is Matame in the first place. It would also tell us that we should go upgrade it all the way to saying that it's Matame B'masa. Daya would tell us knock it back down to Maga, but the Braisa is not saying that. It's saying that it's Matame B'masa as well. So it sounds like this Tana doesn't hold of Daya at all. So why is the Braisa doing that? Why shouldn't we say the Kavachomer tells us that such Shichvas Zera from a Zov is Matame by touching it? And then the Kavachomer would have told us that it would be fine, both Maga and Masa, but then we apply Daya and we take out Masa and leave only Maga. So then, and the fact that the Braisa is not doing that seems to show that he holds that Daya does not apply. Now you're going to answer, what do you mean? You shouldn't need a kavachomer to tell us that the shichvas zera of a zov is metame in the first place. You could argue You could argue, after all, a zov is no less than a toher person. If a toher man's shichvas zera is metame, you could argue there's no logical reason to say that a zov should be any less metame. After all, a zov is a greater truma in the first place. And he is also a man. He is in the same category as every other man. So you could argue that then you don't need the kavachomer for that, and therefore the kavachomer. So therefore you would understand it differently. Without the kavachomer, you would already know that it's matame b'maga. Comes the kavachomer and makes it tumas masa. But no, you could say it's trich. You could still say that no, you have a good reason to say that we have to be informed that the shichvas zera of a zov is matame. Sakrat chamina. Otherwise, you would think, because where do we know that where do we know that that shichvas zera is metame? So one of the psukim that describes it mentions mikre loylo ksiv. The pasuk says that a person becomes tame mikre loylo with an emission of the night. Now it doesn't dafka mean by night. It mentions lila because that's the time when it's more common to happen. But the point is, you could argue misha kiryo gerdam loy. You could argue that that means when is a person tame? Only when the keri itself makes him tame. Meaning, in other words, that so he wasn't tame before, and now keri comes out of him, and now that causes him to become tame. You could argue by the zav, the posik maybe is coming to tell us that he's already tame anyway. You already have an emission coming out of him, so therefore maybe the posik is telling us that that his shichvas zera is not in fact matame, because not in the category of mikre loyla. So Kamash Malan, and therefore you could argue that maybe the keri of a zov should not be matame at all, because not in the category of mikri loyla. Kamash Malan, therefore the Kavachomer is telling us that it is. But again, the question is then, so you have a Kavachomer, which is necessary to tell us bichlal that the shichvas zera is matame. Then you would have that, because again, we can't learn it from a regular person, because by regular person, you have the what's called mikre loyla, and here you don't. So therefore, you need a kavachomer b'chlal to tell us that it's metame. Then you would say, if you only had the kavachomer and didn't apply daya, you would say it's metame both b'maga and b'masa. Now comes daya and takes it back down to maga, but the b'raisa over here is saying that it includes masa as well. So on the face of it, the Tana does not hold of this Braisa does not hold of Daya. So the Gemara says, why? Midi v'loy davar achoksiv. Why? The Pasuk never says in connection with Mikre Loyla, it never actually says that it has to be that the Keri is only because of Mikre Loyla and something else. So it doesn't actually say such a thing. It says Mikre Loyla, and you could say, and you could say much more logically, that it means anybody who has an emission of Zera, regardless of what the cause is, regardless whether this is whether he's first becoming Tomei now, or regardless of whether he's Tomei, or regardless of whether he's Tomei from beforehand and has been having emissions from beforehand and whatever. So yes, you could say that when the Pasuk says Mikre Loyla, it's telling us pretty clearly, therefore, that a person from whom Shechvas Zera comes is Tomei, and therefore now we can use a Kavachomer on top of that to say that Shechvas Zera should be Matame B'masa. So no, it's not that the Tana does not hold of Daya, it's that the Tana is saying the basic fact that this Shechvas Zera of a Zob is Matame, that we know from Mikre Loyla, because he's no different than any other person in that regard. We're not going to say that Mikre Loyla means V'loy Davar Acher, because the Pasuk doesn't say anything about V'loy Davar Acher. So now we have a basic fact that it's Matame B'maga, like any other Keri. Now we have a Kavachomer that tells us that in addition, it's Matame B'masa, especially when it comes from a Zob. So Daya doesn't come into the picture here in the first place. Tosfos actually has some discussion about that after all, you have by the shichvas zera of a zov itself, we're saying that it's metame a person and the clothing that he's wearing, and therefore, so maybe you could say the kavachomer adds the point that maybe the kavachomer tells us that it's metame b'masa, and daya should tell us that it's not metame the clothing that the person is wearing at the time when this shichvas zera touches him. And then Tosfos gets into some discussion about that and says that you don't really say that. You're not going to make that distinction, because any time that something is matame a person and is matame is clothing, then also it's matame b'masa. Those two things go together. So therefore, in fact, you find the other way around. Tosfos points out, you have an example, with something involving a zov, of parts of a saddle that he rides on or whatever, where your matame, where a person touches it, he becomes tame, but not his clothing. But if he carries it, then his clothing become tame as well. So here, you're not going to say, therefore, that daya is going to take away the latame odom, latame begodim, because once it's matame b'masa, once we say that it's matame begodim, then automatically masa is included in that as well. Fine. So that Tana clearly, if not that Tana doesn't hold of Daya, in the case of that, in what that Tana is talking about, Daya is not relevant. Okay. So the Gemara continues. Uman Tana d'shamet le'damah shichvazera shel zav matami b'masa. Now, though, we have to ask, which Tana is it, though? Let's analyze this further. Which Tana is it that would say that the shichvazera of a zav is matame when a person carries it? Which we just said this braise establishes that's how it is. The problem with that is loy Rabbi Eliezer v'loy Rabbi Yeshua. It doesn't follow the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Yeshua, who are the two Tanoim who deal with this matter. D'tnan, we learn in a Mishnah, actually D'tanya, it's a Braisa really. Shichvas zera shel zav matame b'magavein matame b'masa divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer holds that the shichvas zera of a zav is not matame b'masa. So he holds that. You don't make that kal v'chomer before because. The pashtus because he applies daya and therefore he says it can't be any stronger than regular shichvas zera. Rabbi Yeshua Omer af matame b'masa. Rabbi Yeshua says it will be matame by carrying, but not so much because of the shichvas zera. But it's impossible that shichvas zera should not have some drops of zov mixed in with it. So exactly that. In other words, now the drop of ziva is definitely matame anybody who carries it, matame b'mago hamasa. No question about that. It says that in the psukim. So therefore, Rabbi Yeshua points out, as a practical matter, it's impossible to have shichvas zera come from a zav without there being some drops of ziva in it, and therefore those drops are going to be matame. The Mordechai actually brings up a point that why isn't it bottle? And it gives two answers. First of all, you could have that the ziva is noticeable within the shichvas zera, and therefore it's not bottle. And number two is you can talk about bitul baroy when you had two things that were to begin with separate and then were mixed together. Here to begin with, it came out mixed together, so therefore bitul wouldn't apply. Anyway, the point is, so let's analyze. Ad kan l'ka'omer Rabbi Yeshua hosim elashi yefshav l'tzachtzuchi ziva. Consider, what is Rabbi Yeshua saying? Because it's impossible for it to not have tzachtzuchi ziva, therefore it's going to be matame, a person who carries it. Holav hochi loy. In theory, according to him, if you had shichvas zera of a zav, which was actually fully clean of ziva, then it wouldn't be matame, b'masa, according to him. So it comes out that neither, so Rabbi Eliezer holds that the shichvas zera of a zav is not matame, b'masa at all. And Rabbi Yeshua holds only because of the tzachtzuchei ziva, implying the shichvas zera itself is not matame b'masa, only the ziva is. Well, then, the question is, the braisa that we said before, that says that it is matame b'masa, which of those opinions is it following? In general, the Gemara often assumes that when we have, in this case, for example, a machlokas, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, and it doesn't mention a third opinion, then we would assume it means that those are all the opinions on the subject. So then, in that case, then to whom can we attribute this braisa? So ela hai tanahu. So the answer is we can say that it follows the tana of the following mishnah. So in other words, yes. Even though we had a braisa that mentions only the opinions of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, you should know there is a mishnah that implies that there's a third opinion as well, and the tana of the braisa we quoted before could be following that. Namely, the Mishnah says, so the Mishnah at the beginning of Masechta Kelim is dealing with the various degrees of Tumah. You have one kind of thing is, you have one kind of thing is Matame, you have another, one kind of thing is Matame, only foods and drinks, another kind is Matame, also Kelim and people, and so on and so forth. And then it has, the Mishnah mentions you have three basic kinds of Ovis HaTumah. It says actually it starts by listing the Ovis HaTumah, namely a sheretz, shichvas zera, a tomei mes, etc. All of those are matame only when you touch them. You're a sheretz and shichvas zera and so forth are not matame when you carry them. Then the Mishnah continues, lamaila mehen, higher, meaning more stringent than them, is zovei shel zav, the actual drops of zivos that came out of a zav, the rukoi and his saliva, the shichvas zara and his shichvas zara, or meme raglam and his urine, the dama nida, and the blood of a nida, because a nida is in the same category as a zav as far as tumah, all of them, matamin, be mamaga, be mamasa, all of those are matame whether you touch them or whether you carry them. So we see, therefore, that this Mishnah in Kalim holds a third opinion, not like Rabbi Yezer, that's not Matame B'masa, not like Rabbi Yeshua, who says only because of Tzatzuche Ziva, but rather, in and of itself, it's Matame B'masa. So then the Braisa that we said before, which learned that from a Kavachomer, would hold like this Mishnah. So the Gemara says, "V'durma hachinam lefishi yefshav loy tzatzuch hiziva." Why? Maybe you could say the same thing. The reason why in this brisa, where the reason why in this Mishnah, it's saying that the shichvas zera of a zav is matam b'masa is like Rabbi Yeshua said, because it's impossible for it to not contain tzatzuch hiziva. So how do you know that he holds actually a third opinion? And the answer is imkain. If that were the case, listen to gabi zoyvay, then the Mishnah should have mentioned the Shichvas Zarei right after Zoyver. The Mishnah should have given the order Zoyver Shozov, the Shichvas Zarei, and then mention his saliva and so forth. And we would understand why is Shichvas Zarei Metame, like Rabbi Yeshua says, because practically speaking, there are always going to be Tzatzuche Ziva in it. Dekatoni Lagabe Rukoi. Why instead does he mention it only after the saliva? It must be because, in fact, he holds that you learn it from the saliva by a kavachomer, and that was the kavachomer that we said on Amud Aleph in the Braisa, that the saliva of a regular person is not metame, and the saliva of a zov is. So how much more so than the shichvas zera of a regular person that's metame, than the shichvas zera of a zov is metame? And since we established before that the fact that it's metame to begin with, we know without a kavachomer, then the kavachomer is teaching us that's metame b'masa as well. So that's a third opinion. So you have three opinions on the subject. You have Rabbi Eliezer, it's not Matame at all. You have it's not Matame B'masa at all, rather. Rabbi Shur saying it's Matame B'masa because of the Tzatzuche Ziva. And then you have the Tana of this Mishnah and of the Braisa that we learned on Amud Aleph that says that it's Matame in and of itself, B'masa. Okay. So in short, the Tana of that Braisa is not. It doesn't hold that Dayoi doesn't apply. He's in the particular example that he's dealing with, Dayoi is not relevant. Okay. Omele Rav Achami Difti l'Ravina. So Rav Achami Difti says to Ravina, he was another one. He was another Tana who seems to not hold of Dayoi even when it doesn't prevent the Kavachomer from working. And again, we said on Amud Aleph that Daya being Daraisa, you have to hold that it applies at least in some cases. So what would that be? The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. Mappets, a mat. Now, a mat in Gemara terminology is usually made out of reeds or things like that, and you can use it for lying on. Tosfos further on over here points out that actually we might be talking about over here. We might be talking about over here about a different kind of mat than usual. We might actually be talking about one made out of wood based on certain considerations in the sugya over here. But ordinarily a mat that is made out of woven reeds or whatever. So the Braisa says mapletz b'mes minayin. Where do we know that a mapletz becomes tomei if it's in an oil on mes? The point of the question is, it actually points out, where do we learn what kind of kalim are tomei by tumas mes? So you have one of the places is in connection with the war by Midian, where Moshe tells the soldiers who are coming back with lots of spoils, he tells them that the various things that you brought back, which have become tomei mes because the bodies of dead minyanim touched them, tischato, you're going to have to get them cleansed with parah aduma water and mikveh. And he mentions there v'chol beged, he mentions any garment v'chol kli'ur, any item made out of leather, v'chol masa izim, anything made out of things from goats, for example, their horns or hooves or whatever, v'chol kli'etz, and any wooden keli, tischato, you have to cleanse them. Now, one thing that's missing over there is a mappet. So therefore, how do we know that? It's not a beged, it's not an oil, it's not kli'etz. So how do we know that it still becomes tomei if it's in an oil on this? So the Braisa says, the dinhu, we can learn it by a kavachomer. Uma pachin ktanim, madach, little tiny earthenware vessels, appropriate to this week's parasha where Yaakov stayed behind for his pachin ktanim. But anyway, these pachin ktanim are so small that you can't even stick a finger inside them. Now, we know how do Klei Cheres become Tomei? Only by Tumah going inside their airspace. If something Tomei touches the outside of a Keli, of a Klei Cheres, it does not become Tomei. So now, these tiny Pachim are too small to even stick a finger into them. Therefore, to hurt and resolve. Therefore, they're immune to becoming Tomei from a Zov, because the only way for them to become Tomei would be if a Zov sticks his finger into them, and he can't. The openings of them are too small to be able to do that. Rashi points out as well, it's not suitable for midras. It's not one of those kinds of things that's normally sat or leaned or whatever on. So it's the kind of the same way as we have in the Mishnayos for Yotzeit and for the 11 months. We have Shlosh Trisin and all that. We have things that are Tohar Miklum. They're not Makabal Tumas Midras. So we have things that are only Makabal Tmei Mes and things that are Tohar Miklum because they're not meant for Midras. The same way, these Pachim Tanim are not meant for Midras, so they won't become Tomei that way. As far as Heset, now you have by a Zov, you have a unique kind of Tumah that you don't have by any other Tomei called Heset, namely if the Zov moves the thing. So even though he didn't touch it, he, let's say, for example, he took a stick and moved it with the stick, then it's still going to become Tomei. However, Rashi points out that the way the Torah introduces the concept of Heset is it refers to it as touching, and therefore we learn that only something which can become Tomei through touching can become Tomei through Heset. Since, again, the Zov cannot be Matame, this Kli Cheres, these Pachim Tanim, by touching them, because he can't get his finger inside them to be Matame them, therefore he can't be Matame them Beheset either. Tosfos also adds the point that even if, for example, he were to stick hair of his into there, and usually that would be Matame something, but here we're not going to do that. Because again, if he can't stick his finger in, then his hair going in there is not going to be Matame there either. It has to be that it would be capable of him sticking his finger in. And Tosfos goes on to discuss various other aspects of this point as far as such kalim and their susceptibility to Tumah. Anyway, the point is, getting back to the Braisa, so these Pachim Tanim, Shetahurim Bezov, they're Tahur no matter what a Zov does to them, because they're immune to his Tumah, Metame B'mes, yet those same Pachim Tanim will become Tomei if they're located in an oil of a mess, unless they're plugged shut with a summit puzzle, as it says in the pasuk, then they're still gonna become Tomei, because the tumah is almost like air molecules or something of tumah that are gonna get in there, and those of course can get in even if it's a tiny hole. So those are gonna become Tomei mess. So then Mapets Shemitame Bizov, so then a Mapets, which is this mat, which is Matame with a Zov, because if a Zov lies on it, it becomes Tome, because after all, it is meant for lying on, so it's Makabal Tumas Midras. Ain Adin, Shiitame B'mes. How much more so that it becomes Tome by a mess? Thus far, the Kal v'Chomer. And the Komaisi law, Bein L'Tumas Era, Bein L'Tumas Shiva. So therefore, now what is the Tana saying from that? That when this Makwitz becomes Tomei in an oil mess, it's not only it becomes Tomei for one day, meaning it just needs to be dipped in a mikveh and need head of Shemesh, as would be true if a Zov lies on it. It actually has Tumas Shiva. It's Tomei for 7 days, like anything else that becomes Tomei mess. So we see again that it seems the Tana is not applying Daya. Without the Kal v'Chomer, we wouldn't have known that the Makwitz is Metame b'Oil HaMess at all, again, because not listed in the Pasuk over there. The Kal v'Chomer is telling us, be Metame it with like anything else that becomes Tomei Mess. Daya should tell us that to reduce that down to no stronger than the Tumah of a Zov, namely Tumas Erev, but the Tana is not doing that. So on the face of it, the Tana doesn't hold like Daya. It doesn't hold of Daya. Tosfos, by the way, mentions a couple of things in this regard. First of all, Tosfos wonders, when we're saying these Pachim Tanim can't become Tomei by a Zov, fine, we're saying it can't become Tomei by a Zov touching the inside of it because he can't stick his finger in, and like Tosfos said, therefore also if his hair goes in there, it's not going to be Matame. But still, what if, for example, the Zov spits into there? Why shouldn't it be Matame? Tosfos leaves the question open. Then Tosfos also points out, what about, now you have, what's the Kal v'Chomer we're making? Again, that these tiny Klei Cheres are not Matame by a Zov, but they're still Matame by Oil HaMess, and we want to make a Kal v'Chomer from that to Mappets. So why don't we can answer back. We can say, consider a Klei Cheres HaMukuf Tzomet B'Sil, exactly that. When we have a Klei Cheres that is sealed shut, it won't become tummy and oil a mess, because the Pasuk says so. On the other hand, if a Zov moves such a Keli, then you still have Tumas Hesed and becomes tummy. But Tosfos says that no, the reason why it's Matame Behesed is only because it's considered as though the Zov touched the inside of it. The fact is, if there was a Kazayis Min a mess inside this Kli Cheres, it would also become Tomei. That some apostle wouldn't prevent the Keli from becoming Tomei, so therefore, so that's not a valid way of breaking down the Kavah Chomer. Now, one more thing, Tosfos points out, when we're talking about this map, it's having Tumas Shiva, that would imply, in other words, that at the end, you can Tovel in a mikveh. However, Tosfos points out, there are other Gemaras that say that a Mappetz cannot be Tovel in the mikveh. That is what leads Tosfos to say that our Gemara over here is talking not so much about a mock that's made out of reeds as usual. It's true, such a thing can't be made tohor in a mikveh. If it becomes tummy, the only thing to do basically is to rip it apart. But we're talking about over here also a mock that's made out of wood, and therefore that like any other wooden keli can be made tohor in a mikveh. So therefore, so with that, it's relevant to talk about Tumas Shiva. Anyway. So getting back to the Gemara, then again, the point is that this Tana doesn't seem to hold of Daya. Otherwise, how is he saying that this Mappet has Tumas Shiva when the Zov that we're learning it from only gives it Tumas Erev? So why is that? Ema Ahani Kavachomer la Tumas Erev. We should say the Kavachomer tells us that the Mappet gets Tumas Erev. Vahani Daya la Puki Tumas Shiva. And then Daya tells us, don't think it should go as far as Tumas Shiva, like any other thing that becomes Tomei, but Oil Ames. But rather, since we're learning it by a Kavachomer from Zov, then it's no stronger than the Zov and it's only Tumas Erev. So why aren't we saying that? Omalei, so Rav Acha Medifti had asked the question to Ravina. So Omalei, so Ravina answers, Rav Acha, Kvar Roma Nile Rav Nechumi Bar Zecharia La'abaya. You should know, this is not a new question. Rav Nechumi Bar Zecharia already asked this question to Abaya. But Omalei Abaya, and Abaya told him, Tana, and Abaya told him, Tana mi mappets besheres my sila. The Tana is not actually learning the din of mappets. He's not actually learning it from the truma of mess when it comes to pachim tanim. He's really actually learning a different kavachomer from a mappets that touches a sheres. Meaning, in other words, v'hochikama. So he's going like this: mappets besheres minayin. What he's learning is how do we know that a mappets becomes tome? First of all, how do we know that a mappet becomes tomei if a sheretz touches it? Where again, it's not in the list of things that the pasuk mentions that can become tomei by a sheretz, because again, you have in Parshas Shemini, the Torah gives us a list of kalim that can become tomei by a sheretz, and a mappet isn't among them. So he does. V'dinu, so we make a kavachomer. These pachim tanim, which are immune to tumah from a zav, like we said before, tmein b'sheretz, but they can become tameh from a sheretz, because a sheretz is metameh, only a lentil-sized piece of it. So you can have one of these kalim where the mouth of it is too small to stick a finger into, but it's large enough for a lentil-sized piece of a sheretz to fall in there and become tameh. So then, mappets shetameh b'mezav, so then a mappets which becomes tameh, if a zav lies on it, ain't a din sheyeh tameh b'sheretz. That how much more so it will become tummy if a sheretz touches it. So therefore, so that's no problem. So then there's no issue of daya, because in fact you're not saying that you're trying to learn that it becomes tummy by a mess. You're trying to learn that it becomes tummy by a sheretz. Well then, in that case, fine. Both a zav and a sheretz is tumas erev. All you have to do is wait till the evening, and all you have to do is tovel it and wait till the evening, and then it's tohur. So fine, daya is not relevant. Well, the Gemara says, El a mappets mess minayin. Well, then where do we know that a mappets becomes tomei when it's in an oil a mess, or when a mess touches it or whatever? And the reason is a different thing, not the kavachomer that we said before, but rather a gzeda shav. Nema beged va'or b'sheretz, nema beged va'or b'mess. Both by a sheretz and by a mess, the pasuk uses the expression that a beged, a piece of clothing, or a leather item, is going to become tomei mess. So ma beged va'or ha'om v'sheretz mappets tomei by, just like by a sheretz. Also, it's not only a beged and ur, but also mappets by the kavachomer that we just did from a zav. So then af beged va'or ha'om v'mess mappets tomei by. So then we learn by a mess it's the same way that a mappets is matame. So it's not. So we're learning. In other words, we're learning. We have a combination of a kavachomer and a gzeder shavah. The kavachomer tells us that this din applies by a sheretz, and then from that we learn from to gzeder. We learn gzeder shavah from that. to miss, which is fine because you have a concept that Gemara mentions elsewhere that throughout most of the Torah you can do lomid mi lomid. You can have that you learn something by one midrash Torah nedreshes behem, and then once you have that, you can learn that from that to something else with the same midr with a different midr. Only when it comes to kodshim do we not say that. There's a whole complex sugya about that in Zvachim that deals with that point. But outside of kodshim, we always say lomid min alomid. You can learn something with a kavachomer and then learn something else from it by a kavachomer or by zeta shava or what have you. Now, the Gemara points out that's true, but mufne, we would have to say necessarily that this for this gzera shava, it must be that the word that we're using, or the word or the phrase that we're using for the kavachomer is mufne, is available, it's not needed in the pasuk to teach us anything else. The eloi, because if not, ikal mifrach. The eloi mufne, if it's not mufne, ikal mifrach, then you could slog up the kavachomer. Because that's how it works. If you have a kavach, if you have not kavach, a gzeira shava. If you have a gzeira shava that's not mufna, you have two different opinions about it in several places in Shas. Is it that if it's a, now you have a mufna, you can have three kinds. You can have it's not mufna at all. In both cases, the word is needed for the simple meaning of the pasuk or to teach us some of the drasha. You can have mufna mitzad echad on one side of the kavach of the gzeira shava, it's available. On the other side, it's not. And then you have mufna mishnei tzadin where it's available from both sides. The machlokes is in a few places in Shas whether can you learn a gzeira shava if it's not mufna at all. Does it at least have to be mufna from one side? And then we would say if it's mufna from one side, you can learn it, but you can also slug it up if you can find a logical difference between the things. It's called the maiden and mashivin. And if it's mufna from both sides, then you can't slug it up at all. The other way of looking at it is you could learn it even if it's not mufna at all, but you can't slug it, but you can slug it up. But once you have it's mufna from one side, then you can't slug it up anymore. So anyway, so over here, we have to say it must be mufna, because otherwise, ikal mifrach, we could slog up the gzeira shava. Mala sheretz sheken metame b'kadasha. After all, a sheretz has a chumra over a mess in that only a lentil-sized piece of it is metame. Toimim a mess she'en metame b'adasha b'kadasha ela b'kazayis. How do you want to learn from that a mess which has a more lenient din that only a kazayis of it is matame? So therefore, you should say maybe whatever applies to a sheretz does not necessarily apply to a mess. So therefore, necessarily, if you want to make that zeder shava work, you're going to have to say that's mufne. So the Gemara says loye. As a matter of fact, yes, afnuye mufne. Sure, it is mufne. Mechti sheretz itkash l'shichvas zera, because after all, we have another hekish. We have something else. We have a different limud. We have a hekish that compares, that puts together a sheretz with shichvas zera. Dichtiv, we have a pasuk in Parashas Emor. Oy isha she'teitziv gomer, oy isha she'yigam b'chol sheretz. The pasuk says back to back, a person who becomes tomei by having shichvas zera come out of him, and then it continues, a person who touches any sheretz, and both of them are tomei, and both of them are also to eat truma and kodshim. So we see that there's a hekesh between sheretz and shichvas zera. Uchtibbei b'shichvas zera. Now, when it comes to shichvas zera, you have the expression, also you mentioned beged and ur. V'chol beged v'chol ur asher yal of shichvas zera. Any clothing or any leather item on which there is shichvas zera. So from that hekesh alone, we would know that a sheretz is metamic clothing and leather items. So therefore, beged va'or dekaser rachmanu b'sheretz lamali. So why does it repeat this concept by a sheretz? Shmamino la'afnuye. That must mean that it's in order to make the gzera shava mufna. So therefore, we can use that gzera shava. But the Gemara says va'akati still mufna mitzad echadu. Fine. So far we have a gzera shava which is mufna mitzad echad. As far as we know at this point, the beged and ur that it mentions by sheretz is extra. Fine, because we said we can learn the sheretz from shichvas zera by a hekesh, but it sounds like the beged and ur at the other end of the gzeder shava by the mess. It sounds like those are necessary legufay, just to tell us that clothing and leather items are tomei by a mess in the first place. So hanichal amanda oma mufne mitzad echad lemaidin ve'en meshivin. So that works out according to the opinion that such a gzeder shava, which is mufne mitzad echad, you can learn and you can't slug it up, even though you find the difference between the two cases. So shakir, then good. But according to the opinion who says, sure, you can do such a gzeder shava, but then if you find a logical reason to break the gzeder shava because the two things, because the one thing has a chumra over the other, then my ikalamema, then what are you going to say? The fact is we have the objection from before that the sheretz is more stringent than the mess, and therefore how can you learn to say that the, and therefore how can you learn from it to the mess? And the answer is mess, and the answer is demes nami afnuye mufna. As a matter of fact, the beg and an o by a mess is also mufna. Mechti itkash l'shichvas zera, because again, you have a mess is also compared to shichvas zera. In those same psukim, in Parshas Emor, you have, it says, v'anegeya b'chol tmei nefesh, anybody who touches something that would make him tomei, that would make him tomei from a dead body. So any part of a body or any of the things we learned way back in Masechta Nazir about different kinds of things of different parts of a mess that are matame, or a person from whom shichvas zera comes out, and then the pasuk continues with the person who touches the sheretz, and so we have a hekesh between all three of them. We have a hekesh between mess and shichvas zera, and between shichvas zera and sheretz. And uchtibbe b'shichvas zera b'chol beged b'chol or ashe yol of shichvas zara. Now b'shichvas zera, the middle one in this chain, it already says beged and ur. So beged v'ur d'kas v'rachman olamali. So why would the Torah have to mention beged and ur when it comes to a mess? Obviously, shmamin alafnuye, it must be coming to tell us that it's mufna. So therefore, so having mufna mishneitz dadin. So now we have a gzera shava, which is mufna mishneitz dadin, and everybody agrees that you can't shlug that up. So you're going to argue 1 second, but a mess requires a kazayas, a sheretz is only kadosha. Doesn't matter. Once we have a gzera shava, mufna mishneitz dadin, then such an objection doesn't matter. Okay, so the Gemara says one last thing. Hanicha, though, that works according to the opinion. Now, when we have a limud of Gzeira Shava, Tosfos points out on the face of it, so then why do we need the Gzeira Shava in the first place? Then in that case, if we already have a hekesh between mess and shichvas zera, and sheretz, then we already have everything we need. We can already just make a hekesh between them, and that's that. Why do we even need the Gzeira Shava in the first place? And Tosfos points out the fact is there are differences between them. In halacha, we obviously don't learn everything between the same between them. There are obviously many differences in tumah between these various kinds of things. So therefore, we can't say the hekesh will only take us so far. So therefore, we need the gzeira shava to get us the rest of the way there. But now the Gemara asks like this. When it comes to a gzeira shava, or different other limudim. Rashi says that actually the question, we have so far we've described we have kavachomer, we have zera shava, and we have hekesh. Now, when it comes to Rashi learns that we're talking about both hekesh and primarily when it comes to hekesh, that we have like this. There's two ways of looking at how we do such a limud. It's called dun mino mino or dun mino v'uki ba'asra. Dun mino mino means learn from it and learn from it again. Meaning, in other words, we make a hekesh or a gzeira shava or whatever between two things, and then we say that we're learning one particular din from one to the other, and then we continue learning as many possible dinim from one to the other. That's called dun mino. We derive from it umino, and we keep on deriving from it. The other way of looking at it is called dun mino v'uki ba'asra. We do learn a din from one to the other by means of the hekesh or the gzeira shava, but after that, that's it. We learn that one thing. Other than that, the dinim of what we're learning to remain as they were before. We're not superseding them. We're not overriding them with things that came from the other thing. Well, hanichal manda amad dun mino v'uki ba'asra. Well, then all this works according to the opinion that we say dun mino v'uki ba'asra. So what are we saying? That we're learning a hekesh, or we're learning a gzeira shava to say that a makvitz can become tomei mess, and we're learning it from makvitz becomes tomei by a sheretz. But we're saying dun mino, we learn from that the very concept that it becomes tomei, but uki ba'asra. But other than that, we leave it in its place, meaning we're not going to say the makvitz is going to become tomei by a mess in the same amount as a sheretz. We're not going to say that a makvitz is different than other things that are tomei mess in that we're going to say the amount of a mess that would be matame is a lentil size like the sheretz. No, we're going to say dun mino, we learn from the sheretz, but uki ba'asra. But other than that, having learned that, we leave all the other dinim of makvitz the same as they would be by any other thing that becomes tomei mess. Ela mandoma dun mi no mi no my iklamema. But if you hold dun mi no mi no, that whenever we're learning a hekesh or a gzeda shava, we're always going to try to learn as many things as possible from one to the other. Well, then in that case, my iklamema. Then what are you going to say? The tumas, or either we could say that we're learning the kadasha, or fakert, we could say here we have also how long is the mappets tome by a mess? Well, 7 days. But if you're learning from the sheretz, why isn't it tome for only 1 day? So if you say dun mino v'uki ba'asra, fine. Everything that becomes tome mess is tome for 7 days. So dun mino, we're learning from the sheretz that it becomes tome in the first place. V'uki ba'asra, but other than that, we leave it alone and say it's 7 days, just like anything else that's tome mess. But if you say dun mino mino, why shouldn't we also learn from the sheretz that it's matame only for 1 day? And the Gemara answers, Omar Rav, Omar Kra, because the Pasuk says, b'chibat tumas mes, b'chibas de migdechem, b'yem ha-shvi, the Pasuk says, you should wash, meaning you should toivo your clothes on the seventh day, and then you'll become tahor. So now, why does it have to say, utahartem? So why does it have to say that you become tahor? That's the different understandings actually among Mephoshim, whether we're learning from the fact that it says Tahartim, which was not necessary, or are we learning from Bayei Mashvi. Mishnah Melech points out that you could be learning from the word Bayei Mashvi, because otherwise, why would we need to say it? Tumas Erev, we already know. So anyway, the Pasuk says, we learn, kol tumas, sha'atim etamim emes, lo yupchusin mishriba. Means anything when you become tumim emes is never less than 7 days. So therefore, the Gzeres HaKasev is telling us that here we're not going to, that even according to the opinion that usually we say, dun mino mino, here we're not going to do that, because the Pasuk is telling us specifically to not do it in this case. So that answers that. The Rashba actually brings over here that the Gemara, that what Rava is saying may actually be referring back not to what we just said as far as the Gzeda Shava and Dun Mino, etc., but rather that he could be referring all the way back to the original Kal V'Chomer, how we know that a Mappetz becomes Tomei Mess, and we learned from the Zov by means of Pachin Tanim. And we said over there, the question was, on the face of it, Tana didn't hold of Daya. So we answered before that Daya was not relevant over here. But now Rob is saying, maybe you could say over here that there's a special Gzeres HaKasev that you don't say, that to not say Daya over here, because Tumas Mess is always going to be for 7 days. So that would mean, in other words, we could answer like we did before, that the Tana of the Braisa that dealt with this matter of Mappetz Memes Minayin does not. So one answer we gave was that in fact he's not learning directly from Zob to Mess. He's rather learning from Mess to Sheretz, and then he's learning from Zov to Sheretz, and then he's learning from Sheretz to Mess. No Daya is involved over here. Now, according to the Rashba, Rava is saying at the end of the sugya, another way of saying yes, that Tana does not hold up Daya, but because of a special case, because the Torah itself tells us here not to apply Daya by saying that Tumas Mess is always going to be for 7 days. So now, having gotten to this point, now the Gemara is going. So now we've established basically that everybody holds of Dayoi, except maybe you were saying if there's a Gzeres HaKasev otherwise. However, again, you have the Machlokas Reb Taif and the Chachamim about how we apply Dayoi. Do we apply it when it will prevent the Kal V'Chomer from working at all? And now we'll continue tomorrow, Bez Hashem, where the Gemara is going to try to make various other kinds of Kal V'Chomers to apply different dinim as far as Nizakin than we know are the case. So we'll deal with that tomorrow, Bez Hashem.